This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yo, what's happening? Tink and Tierney ready to go. Week two is upon us. Leslie, a little pressure spot for both the G-Men and Washington football on this Thursday around the country. What's happening? Tink and Tierney. This is the Tink and Tierney Show. CBS Sports Radio, coming to you from our Lower Manhattan studios, the Rocket Morgan studio. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. We have a nice eclectic bag here. We got a couple of good guests. Carson Palmer coming up in hour number two. I'll talk quarterbacks, talk USC as well. Brian McFadden, who's always great with us when he joins us, CBS Sports HQ star. He'll join us this hour. Got a little something on the Cowboys. Got a little something on Baker ascending into a role of leadership. Was it the right call? We'll explain. Inbounds, out of bounds. And obviously the game tonight. And a little something on the Niners. And the Nets as well. What up, D?
All's good, man. A little nervous about my Giants tonight. Washington football team on the road. Offensive line banged up. Shane Lemieux out. Evan Ingram out. Saquon questionable, probably doubtful. Not as optimistic as I was before the season started about the Giants.
You know, it's
maybe
funny
they get right, but I don't know, man.
We're going to really get into this game extensively right around 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific, last hour of the show. I hear you. Like, but I'm also feeling the same way if I'm a Washington football team fan right now.
No doubt about it.
I mean, this is a pressurized, important game in that division.
I agree. Look, we like Taylor Heinicke. Like, we think he's going to be okay?
I think I like him a lot. I think I like him even more than you.
You probably do.
This kid.
You probably do. But
I'm betting Washington tonight, by the way.
I mean, you kind of have to, right?
Well, you don't have to. I did bet against the Giants last week, one of the few games I actually won.
Yeah.
With Sharp Tierney. Rough start, just 3-7.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going to roll with Washington tonight.
Well, this year is odd. Oh, it's already odd. You can tell.
Yeah. All the upsets in week one.
Yeah. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. You know, how Aaron Rodgers can win the MVP. And I know he was distracted this offseason, but I mean, what was his passer rating? 34.6 or something?
It was 42.5.
Whatever it
42.5,
oh,
worst
no, no,
in the
that's
NFL.
Right. That's right. If he hadn't completed a pass at all, it would have been 34 point something, and it was only like 8 points higher.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, it's funny. Somebody actually wrote that night where if, I don't know how many, say he threw, I'm getting 38 passes, right?
Yeah.
If he, this is amazing to me. If he would have dropped back and literally thrown 38 passes in the dirt on purpose,
yeah,
he would have had a very similar quarterback rating.
Yes.
Isn't that crazy?
Which is doesn't make any sense.
Makes zero sense.
Aaron Rodgers.
No, it makes no sense for anybody because you would think if you're 0 for 38, you'd have a zero quarterback rating.
I have to say that is an outlier. I really do for the season because he's not going to play like that probably ever again.
I think that's a massive, massive reach for anybody who is prematurely getting ready to bury Aaron Rodgers.
I agree.
Do so at your own peril because he's going to come back and start slicing people up, probably starting this weekend with the Detroit Lions. So week two is here. Again, we'll get in earnest. It's a big one. You know, I think that both of these teams are, well, listen, we know that Washington's, you know, based on what they did a year ago, even the way they battled Tampa in the playoffs, their front seven.
Mm-hmm.
We like Joe Judge, but Ron Rivera has more on the coaching resume than Joe does. But, you know, Daniel Jones tends to play very well against Washington. Saquon Barkley does as well. This is one of those games, and I don't know the exact amount, but there's probably, you know, in any given season, 20-ish or so games you could circle and say, okay, we're going to come back and check on this at the end of the season, and there's a good chance that the winner of tonight's game will, you know, will really help fortify something, or maybe more specifically, avoid something.
Yes.
You might not fortify anything, but if you're 0-2, well, you might be fortifying a very, very empty season. So we have a lot to get to. This was very interesting. Let's play this for you. So this was this morning, Tiki, on KNBR, all right? KNBR, the home of the Giants, the home of the Niners out there in the Bay Area, big-time heritage station. Murph and Mac do the morning show. And I don't know if they have Jimmy G. Is it a regular spot, Mike? Is it a weekly spot? No, it just had him on. So Garoppolo was on with the morning guys at KNBR, and the question's in here. I just want to set it up, though. This is about hugging Trey Lance after the touchdown. This is interesting. Go ahead.
Mark Sanchez said on Fox, he goes, I got to give Jimmy Garoppolo all the credit in the world. He goes, as a quarterback, that's not an easy hug to give. And I wondered, what's your reaction to that comment?
He's not wrong. No. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is type of situation. You know, it's one of those, we had a good drive, Marsh is down there. Kyle called the package, and, you know, he's the head coach, so whatever he calls goes. So just one of those things, you can only control what you can control. And, you know, I'm out there with my boys, making the best of it, having a good time. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're playing football, trying to get a win. So whatever it takes. But, yeah, it is what it is, you know.
I got to tell you, I'm not sure how you could answer that better. I mean, it was a relatively candid admission. Yeah, it's a little tough. Yeah, it hurts a little bit, but never lost sight of the team concept, never lost sight of the pecking order in terms of command. Who's the coach? Who's the players? I have no problem with what Jimmy
now,
just said.
Look, I think
could it lead to a problem, though? I think is the real question.
Well, I don't think it'll lead to a problem because I think we all know the score here. We all know the deal. What's happening is Trey Lance eventually, whether it's at some point this year, which won't happen if Jimmy Garoppolo keeps going for 337 yards and a couple touchdowns, or next year, Trey Lance is going to take Jimmy Garoppolo's job. And so for any player, when the writing is on the wall and it's like in ink, it's really hard to just ignore it and try to be a team player. Now, I think Jimmy Garoppolo will, and there's many reasons why. I mean, we've said this before, but like, he got paid, man. They paid him $100 million. At least his contract is that. He won't ultimately make all that because I think they'll move on from him. But he got a big signing bonus. He got a huge salary that he's making for the next couple of years. You know, regardless of what happens with his quarterback situation, he actually is a good dude. You know what I mean? He's not like one of those cocky and, you know, it's all about me type of players. And so he's managing it the best way he can, but it's really hard to play when you know that the guy who's coming in to score touchdowns while you go sit on the bench is ultimately going to take your job. Now, it's not going to affect him free agency-wise. I think people know his deal, right? He's really good unless he's hurt. And so he'll be fine, but it sucks not being the man. Mm-hmm. And it sucks not being the man and waiting, really, more importantly.
This would drive me nuts. Like, I know it doesn't work like this in our business here, but you know, I look at our show, right? And the way my mind works and the way my mind is in sync with my body, and I've been like this from day one when I got in front of a microphone here.
Mm-hmm.
And not apprehension, certainly. It's not fear. It's an acute awareness, a heightened focus, a real sensitivity to come out and really be sharp the first segment, which sets the tone for the rest of the show.
Yep.
And I can only imagine if, you know, here we are, we do, you know, and again, we got this coming up, we got this, the show set up, it's structured, good opinions, here we go, good sound, good takes, ready to move, and then boom, you know, the third segment, all right, somebody else come in, pick up the show.
Yeah,
like, that would drive me nuts.
Yeah.
I know it's not the perfect comparison.
No, but it's similar.
But from not even attention, but just you're humans.
Yeah.
I think it's very hard to hide that emotion, that a little bitterness that somebody's coming in to kind of do what you should be doing.
Well, I think also for the 49ers, it's complicated because of what I just laid out in that.
By the way, if anybody tried to come in, I'd smack
them. Yeah, exactly. And I'd lock the door. Put a chain. Even though the chain, there's nothing to chain it to.
It is a heavy door, though.
It is.
Like, Santhor needs his whole. There you go. He pushed it open,
Santhor.
You stay out of here for sure. Get back in your hole.
But the difficulty in San Francisco is that Trey Lance is ultimately going to take this job.
Mm-hmm.
But it worked in, say, New Orleans, where Taysom Hill was never going to take Drew Brees' job.
Good point.
And Taysom Hill is never, unless Jameis Winston is horrible, never going to take Jameis Winston's job. I think it's also going to be a problem in Chicago, but even though not really, because there's not really that loyalty to Andy Dalton, but Justin Fields is going to end up taking Andy Dalton's job. Marcus Mariota, when he's healthy, he's not taking Derek Carr's job.
Mm-mm.
So in those situations where it's clear you're the backup,
yeah,
and you are just an additional asset to help us win games, you can hug that guy. You're like, oh, dude, awesome job. It's just like handing it off to a running back, you know, to be honest with you. Or we're going to put in a trick play. Remember back in the day, the wild card?
The wildcat. Yeah.
That used to...
The Dolphins started that thing.
Dolphins used to do it down the goal line. You had Ronnie Brown, you know, taking... snaps from the shotgun and either running it in or jump passes or stuff like that. Like, as a starting quarterback, you're like, yeah, that's cool, man. I can hug this dude. That's awesome. Like,
uh-huh.
But when it's caveated with this guy's ultimately going to take my job too,
yep,
that gets hard.
Well, there are two aspects of this that I think are the only things really worth watching, mm-hmm, because that could possibly lead to either tension or division. An erosion of team chemistry. And here's the two things. And I need you to answer these. The first one I'm asking, the second one I think I know the answer to, but I'll still defer and ask you. Number one, how does this play out in terms of the allotment of snaps in practice?
Yeah, well, I think in practice, it stays the same. Jimmy Garoppolo takes the majority of snaps, and Trey Lance comes in for these specific practice.
But he's still got to take more than the number two in the conventional two on a depth chart.
Well, to be honest, and this is probably misunderstood a lot,
yeah,
the number two usually is the scout team quarterback. He doesn't take a lot of snaps with the number ones unless the quarterback is, say, mid-30s and just doesn't want to take every throw. You know what I mean?
Sore shoulder, something
exactly
like that. Gotcha.
So especially once you've gotten to this point. And training camp, it's different. But like at this point in the season, you want as many repetitions. You want to see the game plan played out with the starting unit as much as possible so that when you get in the game, you're not like, well, we didn't practice that one. Or I didn't practice that one with the starting lineup. But that, yeah, Trey took that one. Jimmy will take all those reps. It's just a matter of Trey mentally absorbing them, but then also being ready for his specialized packages, which he was alluding to.
But I'm also thinking, if I'm Garoppolo, and again, Jimmy certainly said the right thing, showed no signs of being a bitter teammate, but he did keep it somewhat real enough where I think any human can relate to that,
yep,
where there's a sensitivity to less of a grasp on your responsibility.
Yeah.
But what if the reps in practice start to increase?
Well, see,
that's what I really meant when I asked that question.
If that's the question you're asking, then
now I'm going to get a little pissed here from Jimmy.
Oh, of course,
like,
you are.
Like, real pissed.
Because you know it's happening sooner.
Yes.
It's not like, oh, well, at the end of the season, you know, we'll make a determination, but, you know, Jimmy, you know, thanks for all your service, and thanks for getting to a Super Bowl, but we're going with the young kid, right? If the practice reps start flipping to Trey, then you know that the change is coming sooner rather than later. But I don't think we're going to see that unless he plays poorly. But it's almost, it's a tough spot for Jimmy Garoppolo to be in, because so he's got to have these like great days every Sunday. Otherwise, people will start saying, well, it could be coming. You get a couple bad weeks in a row. Oh, well, Trey Lance is in the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's been sitting for 6 weeks now. We can trust him to go in there now. Jimmy Garoppolo is not the man, and it's about time we make that change. I can hear the article already.
No question,
right? And so, I think we'll know when that's starting to happen. I don't think we're not even close to it yet.
Okay,
we're nowhere close to that yet.
Okay, the second part was, and maybe we're a little further along the line here. The division in the locker room.
Yeah.
As not, again, to the ultimate necessarily detriment of the team, but let's face it, guys take sides.
Yeah, they do.
Guys take sides. So how does that play out?
Only if he plays bad. Only if they lose and it's the quarterback's fault. You know, even though it's always, this is a team game, it's everybody's fault. But if Jimmy Garoppolo has a 3-interception game and a critical, you know, game in the regular season, you know, it's probably later on in the year, and all of a sudden guys start saying, Jimmy, man, come on. And even if you're saying it to yourself, that's when it starts to. That's why the quarterback controversies are never good. As exciting as they are for us,
yeah,
they're never good.
Yeah.
Because guys pick sides, and you never want to see that happen.
But I was also thinking really the exact opposite, where Jimmy's playing well, but as the season progresses,
no,
Shanahan wedges him in just a little bit more with some reps, and then guys start saying, maybe not to the media, but I mean, listen, we're 7-2 and Jimmy's playing well. What are we doing here?
Nah, then Jimmy's still the guy. I don't think Jimmy has to worry as long as they're winning. As long as the 49ers are winning.
You can't see Shanahan trying to get too cute?
No.
See, I can.
No, I don't. I think Kyle Shanahan got really cute when he was the offensive coordinator of the Atlanta Falcons
And, I mean, when they neglected the run.
28-3 lead because he wanted to be the man. He wanted to prove that he could win this game simply by letting Matt Ryan air it out all day long. You know, forget Bill Belichick being a defensive guru. Watch this. And we saw it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so I don't think
it became a meme.
Yeah, I don't think he's too
They were one of the first memes.
If
you really
right.
think about it.
You're right.
They were probably one
you're
of the first
what
memes.
What year was that? 16?
That would have been, let's see, that
one. Well, 15 was the Panthers.
No, definitely wasn't 15.
15 was
it
the
was
Panthers.
16 or 17.
I think it was 6. I think it was 16. No, it couldn't have been 16 because Pats didn't win back to back then.
So it was 17.
Must have been 17. Yeah.
Mike 17, right?
Yeah. Must have been 2017.
It was the 2016 season, 2017 actual
calendar year.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, it's worth watching.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, it's, I don't know that it's the most, well, is it the most interesting quarterback situation in the NFL? I don't think it is. I think it's still Chicago because I think Fields, once he gets in there, he's in there.
Fields should be playing.
Correct.
Period.
Correct.
So
there's urgency there.
That's the more interesting one.
It almost feels irresponsible in Chicago right now.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the other one is what happens tonight with Taylor Heinicke, right? It's not that there's no debate like who's going to be the starter. It's him, but it's just interesting to see how good he plays or bad he plays.
I still think Tua is really interesting. Not that there's anybody on the roster that would supplant him this year, but obviously if Tua, you know, is pedestrian, that could alter what Miami wants to do coming up in the offseason. Coming up next segment, how about this? We'll get deeper into the NFC East, all right? It's a mess with a lot of injuries and could get a little messier. Dallas deals with growing number of players banged up. Can Dak and Dallas overcome the early season speed bumps? There's a lot that are visible. We're going to hit that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What's happening? Sunday, week two, we fire it up. Another NFL on CBS doubleheader. Here's what you get in the early action. The Raiders battle the Steelers, or an exciting matchup. Rookie quarterbacks, the Pats and the Jets hook up. Mac Jones and Zach Wilson. Then second-year sensation, Justin Herbert and the high-octane Chargers offense. Taking on the beat-up Cowboys, which Tiki and I will get into in a moment. Coverage beginning at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. JB and the guys get it rolling. NFL Today. All on Sunday on CBS. Brian McFadden joins us coming up next. CBS Sports HQ NFL analyst, former Steeler. Got Carson Palmer, hour number two. Former USC star, NFL quarterback, inbounds, out of bounds. Giants game tonight. Big one for both the G-men and Washington. Baker gave a resounding speech, a real outward sign of leadership after they lost to the Chiefs. We don't question the motivation. Will we perhaps question the timing or the placement of it? All right. We'll get to that a little later as well. Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney as well. All right, Teak. The Dallas Cowboys, you know, this is where the NFL is just an unforgiving beast. They come out, they're big underdogs against the Bucs on opening night when, you know, Tampa showered with the championship praise and rightfully so, and they almost win the game. If Zuerlein doesn't doink that ridiculous 31-yard field goal, if he doesn't hit one off the upright on the extra point, I mean, they really could have won. But now, you could also say the Bucs could have scored 50 points if Godwin doesn't fumble at the five, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
That was a hell of a game, and they drew a lot of praise after it for the way they battled and how great Dak looked. Now, we could quickly go from, even in defeat, feeling really good about the Cowboys to, uh-oh, and here's why. DeMarcus Lawrence out 6 to 8 weeks, star defensive end. Michael Gallup got hurt in that game. Yep. He's on IR, out. Zach Martin, COVID-19 reserve, out. Randy Gregory, COVID-19 reserve, out. Lyle Collins, already you're missing Zach Martin up front. Now you got Collins, who suspended 5 games for the substance abuse policy infraction. Boy, oh boy. Are we going to do an 180 that quickly on Dallas? Feeling good to worry for him that quickly?
And don't forget, I mean, they drafted a kid, Donovan Wilson, out of Texas A&M. Oh, this was a couple of years ago, and he was slotted to start at safety. He played 85% of the snaps in week one. He didn't practice as well. I mean, so you talk about those marquee names. It's not only them; it's these other guys too. They're decimated right now. And for a team that is, I mean, I don't want to believe it again. They're going to have to outscore teams in order to win.
Yeah,
it's just like you can do that for a couple of weeks. You can, but eventually it gets exhausting. And you know, DeMarcus Lawrence is such an impact player coming off the edge. You know, their offensive line, which dealt with this last week with Zach Martin, who's back, thankfully. You know, otherwise they would really be in trouble. It gets really hard to consistently start second teamers or, you know, those guys who didn't win the battle in camp and then have the belief that you're going to be okay. Now, maybe they are next man up, and maybe they find a way to come together for a week, but it's going to be hard, especially with the way that teams score in the NFL these days. And can they outscore them? Yeah. It's just a hard way to win.
You know, that's why if I'm Dallas, I'm rooting for the Giants tonight. Like I look at this division and I say, all right, which team is more equipped to win with frequency?
Yeah.
Between Washington and the Giants. And right now I still say Washington. Even though I like the Giants coming in, I'm not giving up on them, although I do think Washington wins tonight. I just feel like if
Daniel Jones has won 8 games and half of them have come against Washington.
He's got 4, and I think he's 4-19 against everybody else.
Yep, 4-0 and 4-19 against everybody else.
Oh man, you know, and we were watching some of the TV. One of the TV shows was doing a segment before our show. We've got, you know, seven TVs in our amazing studio here, Tiki and Tierney Studio, that they built for us a couple of years ago. We just have to hope that they continue to pay the cable bill, which is 50-50 each month. But we were watching one of these shows, and they were doing a discussion on, and this is not a really talked about topic point, but I think it's an interesting one, some pressure on Jason Garrett to run the offense and to evolve.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know Daniel Jones, and is Barkley healthy, and what about the offensive line? But Garrett has got to put this offense in the right spot because the defense is good.
Yeah, they are, and they got beat on some easy things last weekend. But that's just Teddy being Teddy. He's going to take the easy throw. You give him the easy throw, he's going to take it immediately. They played a lot of cover three, which is three deep safeties, and the way you beat that is to run verticals. And so Teddy Bridgewater would just find the open vertical and throw it, and he's accurate. He doesn't make mistakes, and it's just it was dinking and diming a lot, but it was effective against the Giants defense, and that's why they were able to get a lead. The Giants corrected it at halftime and actually played tough. I mean, they made it a game, and if it wasn't for a roughing the passer penalty and then giving up a 70-yard touchdown to Melvin Gordon, the Giants probably could have climbed their way back into that game at the end of it because of their defense. But offensively, it felt stale. And I mean, it feels like that's a cliche at this point when you talk about the Giants. Oh, I can predict what the play call is going to be.
That's not good when people start saying that, man.
It's not good at all. But I almost feel like bad for Jason Garrett because you don't have time to take traditional 5 and 7 step drops. The offensive line is just not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
So Daniel Jones can't get back in the pocket, collect himself, go through a couple of reads and let the ball go. He's got to force the ball out of his hands quickly, or tuck it and run. And that's when he starts fumbling, right? Because he's not an adept ball security runner. He's a great runner.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not a ball security runner. And so you see him getting the contact, ball comes out all the time. And it's the same thing. It's when he's going to the ground, he has the ball loose to his body or parallel to the ground, and you can just knock it out. He's just not strong enough. You got to keep the thing high and tight, but he's a quarterback. They'll teach us that to quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they should. It's partly on Jason Garrett, but it's also partly on the limitations of the talent they have on that offense.
Well, let me ask you this. When you watch the Giants, and I know this is about Dallas, but I'm getting into this point because I think that If you just tuned in, I think if I'm watching the game, and forget about also the Eagles. If I'm an Eagles fan or a Dallas fan right now, I'm sitting there saying, okay, what's the best result? Now, granted, this is a week two read, so this could obviously change by week four or week five. But I'm sitting there saying, from a Philly and from a Dallas point of view, I don't know that the Giants have the horses because there's just too many glaring deficiencies they've yet to shore up now to win 10 or 11 games, where if Washington gets good play with Taylor Heineke, with McLaurin's, with their tight end Logan Thomas, with Curtis Samuel gets healthy, with the running attack, with the defense, like that's a team that could rip off a lot of wins that could keep Dallas or Philly from winning the division. I'm rooting for the Giants if I'm one of those two teams tonight.
There's no doubt about it. The last thing you want to see right now, if you're any of the other teams in the division, is Taylor Heineke feeling confident about himself and balling. Like, seriously. If he's because their defense got gashed a little bit.
They played the Chargers, though.
But that's my point. Man. They played the Chargers. And but they only gave up, what was it? How many points did they give up?
20-something. It was low. Lower than you would think. Herbert had yards, but only one touchdown pass.
424 yards, but they didn't give up a ton of points. So they bent but didn't necessarily break. That defense is going to be really good. The Washington football team's defense is going to be really good.
Yep.
The last thing you want from a foe standpoint is to see their offense start clicking because they got the talent there.
By the way, they only scored 20, the Chargers.
20, yeah, 20. Exactly. It was 20-16, right? And so Logan Thomas is a good tight end. Their running back is good. Terry McLaurin, he's a good wide receiver. They have the talent.
I know.
If their quarterback is on point, then the Redskins – why do I keep saying the Redskins?
No, because they used to be our entire life.
The Washington football team could be a dangerous team. And on top, right where I think a lot of people predicted them before the season started.
I'll tell you this much. If Taylor Heineke plays, now I've got him at a level a little higher than Teague.
Yeah. He was good, though, in week one.
Oh, I know.
He didn't blow the socks off.
No, everybody. He was fine, though.
But he was
thrust into action.
11-15.
No doubt.
Didn't make any mistakes.
No, he looked good against Tampa. Listen, what we've seen from him, we even saw spurts early in Carolina where he was somewhat interesting. But the point is, for me, I'm a little higher on him than you are, and you like him. I like him more than you. But if he's even more, if he's like 10, 12, 15% more than I think he can be, I think Washington can run away with this division.
Yeah, I mean, they could because their defense is going to be good. I know right now it doesn't look it because of what happened in week one, but it was just week one, and it was an odd week one really all over the NFL.
Mm-hmm. All right, Teague, we're going to get with Brian McFadden coming up next. Our buddy CBS Sports HQ, former Steelers, see what's cooking around the Steelers. A big win against the Bills here. So can Ben stay healthy? What do we see from the defense? McFadden's next. Carson Palmer, hour number two. Baker. Stepping up on the stool. Not exactly Newt Rockney with the speech, but he's imploring his guys, hey, listen, this has to end. We love the show of leadership, but did he go to that well a bit too early? We'll discuss and dissect a bit later. Inbounds, out of bounds as well. But first, who's this guy? Hey, we actually have a human being in studio with us, Chris Lopresti. CeeLo. What up, CeeLo?
Another pulse here in studio with you guys.
Another human. It's been a while, I'm sure. Weird interacting with people this close. Like, we see you in the newsroom. CeeLo, what's up? How's the kids? Sure. How you doing? What's up? But for somebody to sit in the studio feels weird.
That's why when I walked in last hour, I didn't want to, you know, totally scare you over there as you were getting ready in your show prep.
What was I doing? Where were my feet?
No, you were up on the desk.
Always.
You were hanging out, very
reading.
Relaxed.
Yeah.
You did not spook at all, so I
not
give you credit for that.
Not at all, man. CeeLo's update now. He's with us all day. It's amazing. This guy lives 2 hours from here, all right? He busts his ass to get in. Ack could literally hop on the one train, all right, and be here in 9 minutes. We have not seen Ack since the beginning of the pandemic. So that is a shout-out to Ack to get his act together. Otherwise, he loses the gig.
He's very cautious.
He's a very cautious dude. CeeLo's up there right now. Here's Chris. All right, Teague and Tierney back here on CBS Sports Radio. What's happening? Bam, 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 bam. We've got a lot of football beginning tonight. Love it. Week two. Get those lineups in. All right. Carson Palmer, hour two. We get with Brian McFadden here in a moment. Third hour. Get back to the Giants in Washington tonight. Baker's speech. Also, we got to weed this in. Maybe a blossoming early stage of some combustibility with the Brooklyn Nets. We'll explain. We'll do that a little bit later here. I thought one of the surprises here, not so much the score. I wasn't stunned by the score, but just how little the Bills' offense was able to muster up against the Steelers in week one.
Well, the Steelers are good.
I know they're good defensively. But Josh Allen was great, and so was Stephon Diggs, and they have continuity on the staff with Daboll. They scored 16 points at home. That was a surprise.
But they really got after Josh Allen. The Steelers did up front. I mean, they're so good up front with T.J. Watt and Devin Bush on the second level, Minkah Fitzpatrick. I mean, there's a star. I mean, there's an all-pro caliber player on every level of the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. And so I think the Bills got a lesson in that. And then offensively, Big Ben wasn't overly impressive. Najee Harris wasn't either in their run game. I think Big Ben only threw for 188 yards or so. And
yep, 188 on the button.
And had one touchdown. But their defense is just dominant. You remember before they got hurt, had all those injuries last year?
Oh, yeah.
They were amazing.
They were great.
So they're just back to that kind of form. So it doesn't matter how good you are offensively or think how good you are offensively, they can shut you down.
I mean, and the Steelers won a road game despite being just 4 out of 12 on third down. They ran 20-something fewer plays than the Bills did. They had 250 total yards.
Yeah.
They averaged 4.6 yards per play. They threw a 188 in the air, as we mentioned. I mean, there was nothing pretty about this, but you know what? It's a character win.
Well, I mean,
it's a character win.
Doesn't it feel old school Steelers, right?
Yes.
Great defense. Big Ben, hey, you don't got to do too much. Just don't make any mistakes, right? We'll handle this with the trenches on the other side of the football. And I think that's where Mike Tomlin has been preaching really for the last couple of years, and now it's starting to show itself in big important games, as we saw last weekend.
I'm gonna transition to the Browns here, actually, but I did want to make this other point too. We'll pick this back up a little later. Brian McFadden, our buddy who's gonna join us here, former Steeler, two-time Super Bowl champ. He's got the pod with Patrick Peterson, all things covered. Something came up family-wise, so we're going to give him a little space, and he said he's going to check back in. It's all good. But if I'm a Steelers fan, I would rather win this kind of ugly game than win 40-37. You know why?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about the last time we saw the Steelers. The Browns scored, 28 points in the first quarter on them?
That's right.
And they gave up 48 points for the game in a playoff game.
That's right.
In their own crib.
Yeah. I mean,
so
this feels better for the Steelers.
Yes.
This just feels like their kind of way to win.
Yes.
And I believe that Big Ben had an off year because he was recovering from basically Tommy John. Not basically. It was Tommy John surgery, right? He tore his UCL in his throwing arm, and he had to recover from that. And he had a bunch of new wide receivers, Johnson and Chase Claypool. Like there were new people that he was throwing the ball to. So
Washington.
Yep, Washington as well. There just is not that familiarity with Big Ben last year, and so you can chalk up a little bit of last season's lack of consistency offensively to the fact that, one, Ben's getting old, and two, he's got a bunch of young wide receivers that don't know him well. He doesn't know them well. This year, they don't have to rely on Ben to outscore you, right? Because the defense is not going to give up 28 points in a quarter, and all of a sudden you're throwing the ball 55 times in a game. At 38 years old, you're not winning many games like that with Big Ben.
No,
I mean,
but they just got to prove they can get that tough yard,
true,
which they couldn't get a year ago on the ground,
and they didn't do it yesterday.
I know they didn't.
They didn't do it on Sunday either.
No, nope.
Right? Najee was he looked average.
Mm-hmm.
He's not an average player.
No,
but he looked average on Sunday. Again,
okay.
First game as a rookie.
Absolutely,
I think he'll be okay.
First game for sure. Listen, if you're a Steelers fan, you're sitting there saying, "All right, I just watched the Ravens play the Raiders on Monday night, and with all the injuries, running backs going down, Marcus Peters going down, Lamar put it on the turf three times." I'm sitting there saying, I like where we're in, although I still think the Browns are the class of the AFC North, and we get directly to the Browns now. So, okay, after the loss to the Chiefs, Baker gave a pretty impassioned plea to this team, which I love. I want to play this cut from Baker. He's going to basically detail, what he said and what he got into, and then the only thing we have to debate is, converse, not even really debate, just kick around. Is there something to be said for maybe going to this emotional wild card a little bit too early in the season?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can make a case, maybe not. But here's Baker on the speech postgame after Kansas City loss.
There's a fine line of walking, beating yourself up about it, and then realizing there's 16 more. And I think we should beat ourselves up about it because, we feel like we should have won that game. But there is 16 more. So it's the mentality of, hey, we got to go up the next week and go do our job. But this one should sting. this one should sting, and you need to learn from it because we had that game and we need to, you know, close it out. And so I think there's a fine line of walking that, and that was my message to them is, guys, you know what, we're going to be really good if we just do our job, but this one needs to sting. And you need to remember that all the little things matter, and that's how you need to approach the week of practice.
Here's why I love this. Number one, young quarterback, you know, feeling himself, not in an arrogant way, in a real easy leadership way. Now, you don't want to see him throw that ridiculous pick that he threw to seal it. I mean, that's a play that Baker's got to have back and can't make it. They want him to win a championship, and he certainly knows that. But, you know, it seems to be well-received in the locker room. I want to play something from Nick Chubb in a moment. He basically said, yeah, man, it's probably something we needed. But what I think is interesting for the Browns here is that there are certain franchises that, to an extent, can be on autopilot. Like, I know no such thing really exists, but for years, the Patriots were going to take their cue from the most buttoned-up, detail-oriented coach of all time, no-nonsense Belichick, and a no-nonsense quarterback.
Yep.
And they were accustomed to expectations. They were accustomed to winning. The Browns are in the unfamiliar spot of now people expecting them to be very, very good, and maybe got to their heads a little bit.
Well, I mean, I can't say that was the reason that they lost, because I think they played pretty well in this game. Let's not forget, they had a 12-point lead against the Kansas City Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are just really damn good, and there's just, like, Pat Mahomes is the most he's like the X factor that every team would love to have, because it doesn't matter the circumstances, right? You could be up by 15, you're going to end up being up by 30. You could be down by 15, you're going to end up being up by 15. You know what I mean? He just has that ability to flip a game with a couple of huge plays, a couple of momentum stealing drives, and no matter how good you are, he's hard to beat. I mean, that's why you give the Tampa Bay Buccaneers so much credit. And this is why, rightfully so, their defense was lauded after the Super Bowl, because they shut down Pat Mahomes. They frustrated him, which most people haven't done. Think about this. For 3 years, nobody's been able to do that.
Pats did.
Yeah.
Oh, Pats, they hurray. He played terribly in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, no, you mean the Bucks. Yeah, the Bucks.
Oh, that's what I mean. I'm sorry. I'm thinking Brady. Yeah. Of course, the Bucks. Yeah, my bad.
Yeah, the Bucks did. That's what I'm talking about. Sorry. They're the only team that's done it. That's why you give so much credit to the Bucks. But otherwise,
gotcha.
Pat Mahomes has been amazing. And so I thought the Browns had Kansas City right where they wanted them.
Mm-hmm.
We can run the ball. We got a 12-point lead. We can just run the ball. I know you guys improved on defense, but you can't stop our run game. Baker's going to do just enough. And then just like that, they were trailing. So I think credit belongs to the Chiefs, as opposed to looking at the Browns and worrying about them faltering. I think it's less about the Browns faltering and just more about the Chiefs being one of the best teams that we've seen really consistently over the last half a decade, other than the New England Patriots.
And will their punter fumble another snap the rest of the way?
That's right. That's exactly right.
It's kind of a quirky occurrence.
But think about that.
Yeah.
That flipped the game.
Oh, no question.
It immediately changed momentum.
Yep. Okay, so we heard Baker. Now let's hear from Nick Chubb, because, you know, guys speak. Sometimes it goes in one ear and out the other, though I don't think Baker has that kind of place in that locker room. I think guys respect him.
Yeah.
I think his word vibrates and resonates. But let's see. What did Nick Chubb say?
He's a great leader. Him and Jarvis both said something after the game. Just kind of dwell on it for a little while. Let it soak in again. And after that, we got to move on and keep moving forward. It's just a long season. First game. It's behind us. We got to put it behind us. And so now we got to just look forward to the Texans this week.
Do you think that was kind of a needed message for the team?
Yeah, I think so. I think for me personally, I was thinking like the season was over again, because that's how it ended last year. And I had to take a second step back and realize we have 16 more to go. So, I mean, it's not the end of the world. We did lose, but we can correct some things. Me personally, I can correct a lot of things, and we can go from there.
I mean, I know words are words, but everything I'm hearing from the Browns so far, I'm loving. And let me tell you something right now, because there are some teams, and the Browns seemingly are very aware of making sure they're not one of these teams. It's very easy to become Lee Westwood. And now that's not a knock on Lee Westwood, but it seems like Lee Westwood's cool. Hey, you know what? Got a bunch of top tens, a couple of almost majors, you know, but you want to be Tiger Woods. Like, the Browns want to take on that mentality of, when you get to Sunday on the back nine, don't just be complacent and happy that you're there in a position to win. Like often, I'm not saying Lee Westwood doesn't win a win, doesn't want to win.
Yeah.
But you got to learn how to win.
Yes.
And when you lose to a team that beat you last year in the playoffs, and you lose in tough fashion to start the new year, there's got to be a bit of a wound that goes with that. Well, lack of acceptance for that.
I agree.
I like that.
I like that most of all, because there was times where the Browns would just accept whatever had happened to them. It is what it is. It's almost like, yeah, it is what it is. It sucks, but yeah, it is what it is.
Yep.
Right? Now that they're pissed off about stuff like this, I think that means they're ready to be really good. And we know they got the talent. It's all there. We've talked about it many times. Both sides of the football. The coach seems right with Stefanski, Van Pelt, et cetera. They have the right situation in place. And now it's about urgency, right? So when you get a 12-point lead against a team that you're not supposed to beat, go close them out. Right, that's the hard part about going from good to being great is how do you close out teams that you're supposed to beat or you have an advantage on, and they just didn't do that. The opportunity was there, but they just didn't do it.
I think the toughest spot this year is for the Browns fans, because the players are consumed with their job. They're getting paid. Yeah. It's their job. It's their profession. Their singular focus is on preparation for the next game. They're less interested and less aware of the narrative that has engulfed and swallowed up this franchise forever. But
and they have control.
And they've got control. Excellent point. Right. Great insert. If I'm a Browns fan, I'm sitting there helplessly saying, man, I mean, you go back to, I mean, T, think about this. You trace this back to 1980. Now, obviously, you're an older Browns fan if you remember this game. 1980, you play a wild card game, division, you lose, all right? 1982, you play a playoff game, you lose. 1985, you play a playoff game, you lose. 1986, you win the first one, then you lose in excruciating fashion. That's the fumble against the Broncos, boom. Then, 80s, this is the good team. Then in 87, you win a game and you lose. Then in 88, you lose. Then in 89, you win and you lose. And then you go to 94. And then from 94, there's a gap to 02. And then from 02, there's a gap from last year.
Wow.
Last year.
A long time, man.
That is a long time to get geared up for seasons. And listen, it's one thing when, and Browns fans know this, not that they didn't stop going and representing the dog pound and being great fans, but all these years that we knew that they were going to suck, deep down, their fans knew they were going to suck. This year, kind of like last year, but definitely this year, they are emboldened, maybe like they haven't been emboldened since the mid-'80s.
Yeah, agreed.
And you're fragile.
That's right.
You're vulnerable.
Yeah, you don't want to hear excuses for, oh, you're still good. you're still doing all right. You don't want to hear that anymore. You want to hear this team can win and will win, and the games that they're supposed to blow out opponents are going to blow out opponents, and if they can steal one from a really good team, they're going to steal it from a really good team. Not like, oh, you were close. You're so close. Nobody wants to hear that anymore.
Nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to live through it. Nobody. So good sign of leadership from a good team, a well-coached team, and amazingly, at this point, somehow they have morphed into a well-run team. That is amazing. Gives you hope, doesn't it?
It does.
Gives you hope if you're a Jets fan, or, you know, Jaguars were just in the championship game, you know, so maybe that's not fair to them. But the Lions, you know, the downtrodden teams of the NFL, you know. The Bills have had a renaissance. The Dolphins seemingly are on the upswing. Washington's getting better. You know, here we go. It is on. All right, T, coming up, blossoming controversy with the Brooklyn Nets. What? Get to this coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.